I do think the switch to workflows instead of tasks is what will happen. I think that'll be the most meaningful pivot. I think people are going to stop using chat copilots, text-based deliverables, and they'll start using it more for strategy.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. This is Jonathan, founder and CEO of The Juice and the host of today's episode. I am thrilled to be joined by Nathan Thompson, head of content strategy at Copy AI, who has really been on the forefront of all things AI since AI became broadly available. And we're going to talk about what that means, what AI means to different people, the different types of AI, all in today's episode. We go into a lot of these episodes saying like, we should also talk about AI. Well, today we're going to just talk about AI, just head on. We're going to talk about it. We're going to go deep on it. We're going to geek out and nerd out. And before we do all of that, I should stop rambling. Nathan, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and your role at Copy AI.
Yeah. So again, Nathan, head of content strategy at Copy AI, ran the gambit in terms of content creation, starting at a very bootstrapped, no money startup. So their whole organization was built just with organic content, and that's how they got everyone. Then moved on to a bootstrap startup that was a little bit further along in their journey. So they had some more resources and stuff, but still learned how to be scrappy with content and getting new leads and just how content marketing worked as a larger team. And then really moved to an agency when I was at Animals, got a deeper dive into the agency world and a bunch of different types of content. And now, yeah, here at Copy AI, and I've gotten to what I think is rebuild a lot of content marketing workflows to redo some processes with AI and kind of just update the older playbooks for a newer system.
I'm excited to dig in. People love, you know, saying the old playbooks are dead, but it's like, are they really dead or are they just changing? If there's a new playbook and everybody adopts it, is it really successful? So
everything on LinkedIn dying all the time. Everything.
Everything's dying. Everything's dead.
Yeah. Just change. It's got to die.
Saying things are dead is dead, yes. In my opinion. Before we jump into all of that, Nathan, this is the Content Cocktail Hour. What are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
I am a sucker for sparkling water, for bubbly. I wish it was more fun. I used to drink whiskey by the gallon, and that was a lot of fun. But I became a father and then stopped drinking. And so now my holidays are sparkling bubblies and iced coffee. If I could just get a Trenta black iced coffee delivered to my home every day, I'd be so happy. I know that's the most, I don't know, cliche thing I could possibly say, having it delivered, but that'd be great.
Two follow-up questions. I don't typically ask follow-up questions here. Do you have a favorite like brand of sparkly or like flavor? Or is it just pure, like plain old, pure sparkling water?
I do have a soda stream, but when I feel like splurging, I do the bubbly. I spoil myself. And it's mostly because Michael Bublé's endorsement. I can't help it. I can't help it.
I like it. And then are you a iced coffee year-round drinker or only when it's warm? Yeah. So I'm the same way.
Are you? Okay. Yes. Yeah. So where are you based again?
Indiana.
Okay. Yeah. Yesterday, it was negative 18 Celsius. So I think it was negative 3 Fahrenheit. And I still went and got my black iced coffee. Because, I mean, the car. It's warm in the car. And it's warm at home. Anyway.
I'll make hot coffee at home. But anytime I, like, go through Starbucks or Dunkin' or whatever, it's always iced coffee.
Iced coffee. Yeah. I'm with you. Year-round. No exceptions.
Love that. Well, cool. Well, maybe we can find some common ground on all things AI as well here. I'd assume most people are familiar with Copy AI, but I think it's a pretty interesting kind of history for Copy AI. You know, generative AI comes on the scenes. Copy AI is, as its name would suggest, helping folks write copy with AI. And it's doing it in a better, more powerful, more efficient way than most other providers. But since then, it's really evolved into so much more isn't even the right word, just something completely different than just helping people write copy. And I think as people, we often talk about AI, there needs to be different terms for what we mean when we say AI. Because I think broadly, let's call it, you know, the public, when we talk about AI, a lot of times we are just talking about generative AI and like copywriting or maybe some search functionality. But it's like AI was around before generative AI. AI does a lot more than just generate copy. And I know Copy AI is now leaning into all those different use cases. So maybe could you just talk about that evolution at Copy? I know you've been involved in a lot of it, just from being really a marketer's tool to help them write content into what you're doing now.
Yeah, I came in at a really interesting time. So oddly enough, or ironically enough, it was back in January 2002. So almost 3 years ago, Copy AI was a client at Animals, and I was writing the landing pages for their initial runs of the home pages, which is really neat. And to come back full circle to work with them now. They started more as essentially you could think of it as a chat wrapper, and you see a ton of those now. And it was a way that to make prompting more accessible to people, but to really help with copywriting tasks, mostly with marketing. And it was essentially a competitor to ChatGPT. We have since, though, over the past year, maybe year and a half, switch to something completely different, to where I'm comfortable saying I use ChatGPT every day. I think it's an awesome service. It just does something different than what we do. So the way I like to think of it is, when most people talk about AI, like you said, they're talking about Gen AI and mostly talking about just ChatGPT. Great for one-off tasks. The problem that we identified at Copy AI is we've become a go-to-market AI platform. So just connecting all the functions across the go-to-market. Is that doing things by task still creates data silos. It still asks your employees to get good at prompting, and it still disjoints the messaging across channels. So you might have someone in social media prompting ChatGPT for messaging around a campaign, comes out differently than your email or lifecycle person. They prompt it differently. And so you'll get different language, different brand voice, different whatever, unless everything is connected. So Copy AI now, no longer being that chat wrapper, is again a go-to-market AI platform. And it really does build workflows and codify your human best practices so that you can run entire, again, workflows or processes rather than just single tasks. So instead of saying like, hey, chat, write me a blog post on X, Y, or Z, and then it just kind of makes up a bunch of stuff and you get that generic output that everybody comments on. The workflow is different, where you'd say, okay, this thing's built to create a blog post as the final output, but it's going to run through a bunch of individual steps, or we call them actions, along the way. So it's going to do external research, and it's going to scrape our sitemap for the best internal links to add. And then it's going to create an SEO brief based on what's showing up in the SERPs and what information gaps there are. And then they'll give me a first draft that's about 80% of the way, and I can move on from there. But everything's so fine-tuned that once that workflow is built, I can just, instead of saying, hey, chat, give me this keyword, give me a blog post, we now have a workflow built that I can upload 10 at a time and then have 10 drafts for the week ready to edit to our editors. So different, just a different way of thinking about it.
It's fascinating. It's powerful. And I like the point that you make there on like ChatGPT. You're having to train the team on prompting. You're having different people use it in different ways. It's like, despite it being AI, there's still a heavy burden on the human there, right? And like the groups of humans even. Like it's almost, it's removing some friction, but it's almost introducing more friction. Because now it's giving you more stuff that you have to communicate against teams, where the workflow can kind of streamline all of that into one set of actions for everybody involved. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yeah. And it's funny. I view it as like using ChatGPT as a larger solution for your team. I view it as kind of like quicksand. And it is a little insidious, where it seems like a great, like, hey, everyone's doing their tasks faster. That's great. The problem is, like you said, all that data is getting siloed into different places, or as you said, it's putting a heavier burden on people. Like, I trained to be a marketer for the past decade, not to be a prompt engineer, if that makes sense. Now it's only through the past 2 years of everyday playing with prompts that I'm getting more comfortable. But I still, even after all that time, I'll go to our head of prompt engineering, Anna Bernstein, and I will ask her for advice all the time. It's a skill and a language in itself. When you just ask people, hey, go use ChatGPT, they don't have time to learn prompt engineering.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's kind of a perspective shift for me even. I appreciate that. You leading content strategy at a company that's using go-to-market AI and these workflows, what are you using? What does a day in the life in your role look like from your interaction with AI and the workflows you're building?
Yeah, it's a lot more fun than it's ever been, which I know sounds cheesy and lame, but it's a different process and kind of rebuilt from the ground up. We have a lot of changes. So a lot of our traffic came from tool pages. And so in 2022, the first half of 2023, our head of content, Zach Harris at the time, awesome guy. He built these great tool pages, brought really good traffic. And then when we made the switch to B2B, that traffic was less relevant and we had to get more qualified people for more enterprise level contracts as we were starting different conversations. So my day-to-day has been finding the right keywords so that traffic doesn't just take a huge dive, it's still valuable. And so keeping all the traffic we have stable, but then claiming more real estate for go-to-market content, top of the funnel pieces. And so it was building a workflow that would get me the top of the funnel content we need to start bringing the right people in, and then figuring out how I could remove myself as a ghostwriter for thought leadership pieces. I'd done that a lot at Animals. I'd done that a lot in previous roles. So I built a workflow for the top of the funnel, but then when it came to the thought leadership stuff, I didn't want to keep ghostwriting because I don't think it's as authentic as using AI, which is not a popular opinion, I know. I view it as the opposite. I think AI is way more authentic. The reason is I was able to build a workflow that would take a transcript and the LinkedIn profile of whoever was speaking. And then from that, it will identify the themes of the transcript. Then it will also scrape their LinkedIn profile. And I force that workflow to then, as a single step, answer why is this person qualified professionally to talk about whatever they're talking about? What is it about their professional experiences that can let us believe them rather than just saying, hey, write a post in, you know, X, Y, or Z voice? Then another step in that workflow will actually take the speaker's voice, analyze it, and give speaking. That'll get its way into a brief or a long-form blog post, and then a LinkedIn post. And so really, my day-to-day is just figuring out how can we build these workflows that connect and fill pipeline for sales, get more of our thought leaders to actually be engaged and go on, because that's just so hard to get. And then once we have all that data, how do I make sure it's accessible to everybody? You know, we covered the top of the funnel, and we have the thought leadership piece. Our bottom of the funnel, I've always viewed as like, how do you solve a very specific problem with your specific technology? So like, what does account prospecting look like with Copy AI specifically? It occurred to me that all of those conversations were already happening on sales calls. And so we were able to take a marketing workflow to take the gong calls, extract what problems were being talked about, and then write a how-to guide on the other end. Those get sent to Notion, and then I can cherry pick which guides I want to use to publish on our main site. And we don't publish. We have 50 guides published. We have 9,500 of these stored in Notion. So it's not like we're just getting, you know, copy and publish, but it's much faster, much easier.
It's the exact opposite of what we were just talking about, what ChatGPT does, of it's kind of creating these like entrenched silos as each individual is using it. Now what you're doing is you're actually like taking the stereotypical silo of information that happens on a sales call, and you're actually like automatically breaking that silo down and then infusing that across the content you're doing, across what marketing is building. That's really fascinating. These workflows are actually breaking down these silos and actually better aligning sales and marketing. Is that right?
I believe so. Any marketer listening to this will feel this pain. It was a couple months ago, and we picked up the content velocity, and we started really putting out more content. Because we trusted the workflows, we'd spent a few months building them, we were happier with them, seeing the results. And so we were comfortable upping the cadence, always a human in the loop. But in doing so, the problem was sales kept contacting me and saying, hey, what content do we have on X, Y, or Z? And then I would have to go Google and send it to them. So it occurred to me, we have in the platform itself, and again, not a tool, a really centralized platform now, we have two functions. One is called tables, and it's like a dynamic data repository. And so I took Phantom Buster, a little tool, and I scraped all of our YouTube videos, descriptions, and URLs, stored them in a table, and now all of our workflows understand that information. So later this week, I got to go put in the transcripts to give it a deeper understanding. But then we also have all of our podcast transcripts, and I put those into InfoBase, and that I can give a special tag that says like podcast. So I built a workflow that scrapes our YouTube channel, scrapes our podcast transcripts, and then scrapes our sitemap. And it will show them all of the content with links, so they don't need to bug me about that anymore. So they see a form, they type in a little search query, and they get all the content back. Then we realized we could take that content finder and build that workflow into another workflow to actually create follow-up sales emails for our sales reps with recommended content, depending on whatever was talked about. Send that to them directly via Slack. I've never worked this closely with sales before. Now we're talking back and forth. What's the best way to get the customer this information without bottlenecking everything all the time? And it's really cool to see as it starts to create this flywheel.
I think every marketer listening, if we had a dollar for every time sales asked for, hey, can we make a slide about this? And you're like, can you reference the slide I sent you last week that's about exactly that?
Yes. Can you just do more jobs or I could do mine?
Yeah, exactly. But you've not only broken that down, but then you mentioned you built that into something else that already exists. And like all of a sudden there's all these network effects of the data between the sales and marketing team. So incredibly powerful.
This week, our CMO, Kyle Coleman, is really excited about account-based marketing and what we're able to do, not just better, but very differently than it's ever been done before. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those use cases where now sales data and marketing data can come together. We can create these personalized landing pages. That's great, like for an account. So let's say we have the juice, we have an account with workflows that you might want. Right now, all of those, all the calls to actions are book a demo. But we really could and are going to start making all of those personalized guides and resources based on the conversation that you had on the call. And then we can look up people within the company, look up their role, figure out their most likely use cases, and send them individual personalized blog posts written to the person, like their names in the URL, their roles in there. It's going to be a wild ride in 2025, I think.
But you mentioned next year, like, where is this all going? Like, what's on the horizon that maybe most aren't even thinking about right now?
I do think the switch to workflows instead of tasks is what will happen. I think that'll be the most meaningful pivot. I think people are going to stop using chat copilots, text-based deliverables, and they'll start using it more for strategy. Help me brainstorm some ideas for a campaign. Help me do X, Y, or Z. But if you want LinkedIn posts, thought leadership posts, landing page copy, things like that, I think that will all get baked into workflows. Reason being, once you build it first the right way, everything comes out so connected. We were talking about a campaign in December. We have an event coming up on December 10th. Really excited about it. We talked as a team. We got on our call for 15 minutes. Who are we going to talk to? What are we going to talk about? I then take that call recording as a team, and that's all the strategy. That's all human generated. We're not leaning into AI for that. I can now take that though, take all those details into a workflow, and I can get the emails, LinkedIn post, Facebook post, tweets, outbound emails, and LinkedIn ad campaign that we need for all the webinars that we do. We always need the same types of things. I can train it with examples that have worked in the past that have gotten the most engagement, and I can start to experiment and fine tune it as we keep going. But for now, it's cool. And then all we do is, like today, we talked about the campaign for December 10th, same day turnaround. By lunch, we have all the first draft of the text-based assets that we need for that webinar in a Google Drive ready to get polished up. And so we hit the ground running. The biggest benefit to that, it's not just getting things done faster. I also view it as better because the messaging across all of these assets is going to be the same. It's going to talk on the same narrative. It's going to address the same calls to action. It's just going to be more connected because it's all generated in the same system.
I've got some notes that I'm taking of like stuff I want to go try in our organization now. So this is all very inspirational, perhaps aspirational. What about for somebody who's at an organization who maybe isn't on the cutting edge of AI, whether it's they individually want to get started using AI in their marketing role, or maybe they need to infuse some AI energy into their organization? Where does one kind of get started with all of this?
You can use ChatGPT and Airtables or Zapier or anything like that. So I don't want it to like pitch copy AI. If you are doing workflows, I will say this, I am not a tech savvy person. I have not needed to know any code or technical things to get what I want. And so what I always tell people is with pen and paper, like map out, I want X deliverable. I want X output. Okay. Start super small. I want a LinkedIn post as the output. What input do I want to give it to get that LinkedIn post? And then start to build. And once you get the LinkedIn post that you like, you give it an example or like the transcript. I just transcripts as input is so good because it gives real good guardrails for the AI to understand. So let's say you're getting started. You don't know. You want to just start very small, build a small test pilot, and then build off of it. And you'll start to get addicted at everything you can kind of build at the same time. There's things I can do, we just don't because we don't have a need for it. But like I built a workflow that would take a pain point of a customer and then it would go and find the top 5 Reddit questions, give me the link to the Reddit questions, and then give me the first draft response to those Reddit questions. And I could go through and I actually clicked through and verified and they were all accurate links to all accurate questions. Go break a bunch of shit. Just go break a bunch of stuff. Whoever breaks the most in 2024, I think is going to win in 2025. That's my prediction, at least.
As somebody who appreciates pen and paper, I think that's also like, it helps me frame it up a little bit to like not be afraid of the technology, but like map out what you want, then go figure it out. And if you can't, you'll break something along the way and learn from that.
I kid you not. Since AI, I've been working with it more. I am on pen and paper way more in terms of writing than the computer. Because this is where I map out and this is where I think clearly about the strategy and then I can codify that strategy here. But in terms of the writing and what I want, that's all just kidding. Yeah, that's all.
Well, this has been awesome. Nathan, we do always end these conversations by asking our guests, what's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
Yeah, I'm super nervous about this.
Don't be.
It's not going to be popular. Okay. I think AI forced a lot of professionals in marketing, whether they know it or not, I think it forced them to ask, am I in this profession to be a better writer or to be a better marketer? There's a huge difference. To be a good marketer, you need to be a great writer, but you can be a great writer without being a great marketer. And so I think generative AI forced people to question what skill they were really trying to get good at. And I think the folks that were saying this is going to replace me or it can never do what I do or anything like that, I think some of those folks may have wanted their skill to be a writer, not necessarily a marketer, which is something that I only say because I recognize it in myself. It was last year, I realized I'm not getting paid to be a writer, I'm getting paid to be a marketer. And that means understanding how marketing works at a broader level than just this blog post. How does it work across the go-to-market function? How do I need to interact with sales? How do I need to interact with customer success? What data do I have that tells me articles I should write, even if I don't want to, but it's our customers want me to. So that is not a super popular opinion. And I don't want it to sound mean. I just think that AI forced a lot of people to question what skill they were really working towards. Because if you want to be a good marketer, there's never been a better time with the tools available now, ever.
Yeah, it's similar. It's different, but similar to some, it might have even been this answer to the same question. Patrick Reynolds, who's CMO at Blueconic, he was on the show a few weeks ago and he said, you know, you as a marketer will not be replaced by AI, but you could be replaced by somebody with AI. We all need to be learning and adopting to these workflows to how we can use AI, not just individually, but across an organization. And I think that's where it's like, I think we've moved beyond the wave of like AI is going to take jobs. And maybe, you know, if you're just a pure like SEO copywriter, I guess you could argue that, but like, not so much, but somebody who is well-trained and has taken on the opportunity to learn how to use AI, those are the people we should be worried about, not the AI technology itself. It sounds, you know, maybe a bit harsh, but I don't think we should worry about that. Just like our generation knowing, growing up with the internet, knowing how to use the internet, like probably replacing boomers, you know, like in the workforce who don't know how to use it. I view it as very similar to that.
I asked somebody the other day, would you hire someone who didn't want an email account? And that happened in the 90s. There were people who were like, I don't want my boss to contact me after work. I don't want that. And then it happened again with cell phones. I don't want a company phone. This is going to text me. My boss is going to text me. All that stuff. Look, fire has been used to warm homes and burn witches. And it's just a tool. It will depend on who's using it. And then I do think, though, I'm hoping we're getting past that fear of it's coming for my job. If your job is to deliver a first draft of B+ copy and that's it, then yeah, you worry. But also, how fulfilling would that be as a person if that's your whole existence? Anyway.
Well, Nathan, I appreciate all this. Like I said, I've got some inspiration here to go back and try to figure out how to build myself. If people want to learn more about Copy AI or learn more from you, what's the best way to do that?
Copy AI. Or copy.ai is just the URL, so that's convenient. Also, you can find me on LinkedIn. Ironically, my handle is Nathan Likes Writing, so there you go.
After that last answer, that is a bit ironic. I love it. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us today. I know our audience has learned a lot. I myself have learned a lot. To all of our watchers, all of our listeners, thanks for joining another episode of the Content Cocktail Hour. Until next time, cheers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.